Welcome to the Ripple Effect Podcast, where we boost confidence, celebrate impactful stories, and be the ripple of change. We are dedicated to sharing inspirational stories from successful women to young listeners. Thank you for tuning in.
We are a group of three high schoolers who are interested in learning about the world through the experiences of women of all ages and backgrounds in the workforce. The three of us are especially curious about what success means for each person and how to develop a work-life balance.
This episode's amazing guest speaker is Suzanne Serbia, who for many years was a leader at General Electric, working in information technology, marketing, and design initiatives. After, she founded Aging with Art and Soul, using her artistic talents to support her community in many ways. She currently leads art workshops held in local assisted living communities and has published three coloring books that incorporate her detailed artwork, poems, and short stories.
First of all, it sounds like you've made amazing contributions in your field. Your job title encompasses a variety of responsibilities and you wear so many different hats. Could you begin by describing your job responsibilities and what do you love most about your role?
Well, it really depends on which job you're talking about. So I'm gonna take a minute now to kind of at from a high level tell you about my path, because my path was a very unconventional one. So it started with me leaving grad school with a master's of architecture certificate, ready to be an architect. But unfortunately, it was very slow times. It was a sluggish economy that affected architecture jobs. So it was tough to find open positions. And then my mom calls me one day and says, I have a friend who has a daughter who has an opening in IT in a Fortune 500 company, which happened to be at the time Pepsi-Cola International. And I thought, okay, I have no background, no experience in IT. And I never thought I'd work for a Fortune 500 company. So I said, okay, once the, if nothing else, it's good experience. So I go to the interview, and it was the best interview. And Mary is the woman's name who was hiring. And she said, I'm just looking for somebody smart who I can mold. And evidently, she thought I was smart, and I was just like, you can mold me. So I came on board. I then started my career in IT from that moment on. And I was taught how to be a data architect. So I kind of joke, instead of designing buildings for people, I design homes for data. And it turns out I was really good at it. Like, who would think? I had an amazing time at Pepsi-Cola International. I got to travel. I got to not only be a data architect, but lead a team of data architects. It was awesome. 7 years later, I have a friend and a colleague who goes over to General Electric and gives me a call and says, Suzanne, I need you here. They indeed needed my skills, right? Because they were having a big project. They needed people with a data mindset and so on. So I jump ship and I go to GE. So I start out as a data architect. Now, the interesting about General Electric, if any of you know anything about Jack Welch, he was the CEO then. He wanted every employee to change roles every 18 months, which is really not typical. It was very GE, but I took advantage of, and I was able to navigate through the 16 years I was with GE through many different IT disciplines and many different roles. I was in data warehousing. I led data warehouse strategies. I was relationship managers with different business organizations. It was awesome. The last thing I did with GE was I looked around and noticed that the digital experiences for our customers were horrifying. Now, again, this is early 2000s. This is a different time than now, but so I may because I'm a designer and I'm an artist at heart, I was like, oh no, we need to fix this. So I built the first ever UX team. Now, I don't know if you know UX, it's user experience, has everything to do with, the right kind of digital experience for our customers. And so I built the first ever UX team for GE Capital. And we grew to be a really sought after team, which was wonderful. And then 16 years, into my career, I was done. You get to that point where you're like, I'm done. It takes so much out of you. And we'll talk about work-life balance, I understand. So I turned to a friend and I said, I'm done with GE, but I had big bills to pay and things like that. I said, I can't leave it. It will need to leave me. I don't know why I said that. But 4 months later, word comes that they're selling GE Capital. So I think I was the only one in the 3,000 employees to look up to heaven and say, thank you. So I early retired. And then I started all over again and said, now what do I want to be? And so that's when I kind of opened up and thought to myself, I'm going to say yes to an opportunity that may sound kind of crazy. And a friend approached me and she knew my artistic background and said, Suzanne, will you help me run an art class I'm having at my work? And I said, sure. What she does is she does a programming for people with memory care issues, living with memory care challenges. Now, I never would have thought I would do something like this, but I opened myself up. I said yes. The first art workshop we led under her, because she was a wonderful mentor too, because she had it like she, yeah, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. And so so over time I went from volunteering, and then I started charging for my classes, and then I started promoting my own business, and then I realized it's a very particular it's very challenging for people to relate to people with memory care issues. And I noticed things like if people were going to draw something, they had childlike pictures, not adult-like pictures. And I noticed that it was difficult for people to have conversations. So I had these ideas. I was going to do my own coloring book, and to help people relate, I wrote poetry and short stories, so that if a family member came, they didn't have to make up conversation. They could just read something. Very, very fulfilling. So that's where I am now. That was my crazy path to get to where I am.
Wow, that's so amazing and so cool. You had so many different experiences and you kind of allowed yourself to just go with the flow. Like you grounded yourself in who you knew you were and your artwork and your background in architecture, and then you just kind of let yourself figure it out, and you ended up in so many great places. And that's great. Even when you rebranded yourself, you stayed true to your passions, and you're clearly helping so many people and making your community much happier and much more comfortable. But kind of transitioning into our next question, have you ever felt underrepresented in your field, specifically IT, thinking about in the workforce? How did you navigate those moments, especially when you had to advocate yourself or maybe for someone else?
Yeah, it's a great question because not only were they male-dominated fields, they were male-dominated organizations. And when I first got to GE, they had just started a women's mentorship program, which was absolutely fantastic. You kind of had to get invited in. So working really hard and being respected and so on helped me get into the group. It was fantastic because m the people that you meet, really helped you through these sticky situations. There were times when I had boys club type of bosses, and they were challenges. But I found that I never knew just my boss. I knew a wide range of people. what I all my roles I had, even in IT, it was about building relationships, whether they were business people, whether they were other peer organizations in IT. And that always helps. There was one instance where it was a leader of another team I was helping do something with my data background. She called me in to help. And this goes to advocacy. What I did not do, which is a big learning, and this happened early in my career, is that I wasn't self-advocating to my boss. My person I was helping loved me, loved the work I was doing, right? But my boss didn't know. And being in the boys' club, that didn't help me because he didn't know, didn't care to ask, didn't care to ask the other person. And so I, in one situation, it was the other team that came in and fixed it, made it right. But it was a good lesson because back to the mentorship, I was able to talk this through with a high-level woman and say, it's so difficult for me to brag. It sounds like I'm bragging, right? And I think the lesson is you have to find your own way of telling your stories, telling your about your successes, and do it not waiting for that once a year review time. It's too late for that. But it's how do you, no matter who you're facing, no matter what challenges that other person brings to the table for you, you keep the conversation going and you keep kind of talking about what you're doing with excitement, you know, and this is what we delivered and this is why we delivered it. So, yeah, I think advocating as a woman, I don't know if it was just me, but maybe I'm a little too humble, but it was tough getting there. When I had a team, it was way easier because I could brag about somebody else. That was really easy. And I could show, like, when for the UX team, telling the story about a before and an after, you know, and showing the difference and the value it made was so much easier in the advocating for yourself and your team. So I hope that helps.
Totally. And it's really interesting to hear about this culture that you're able to develop through forging relationships, whether they be like personal or like more business or industry related. But it seems like you found a lot of success in being able to advocate for yourself in this sort of boys club environment, but also sort of navigating that with the right mindset and with the right people around you. And it seems like you have found your own sort of path to success. And we do agree that success means a lot of different things to different people. And this sort of transitions to our next question, which is how do you personally define success, both professionally and personally? And we do understand that you did touch upon this, but if you could expand a bit.
I think even in technology, it was about making a difference. It was about if I felt like we a good day is working with others as a team to come up with really great solutions. When it comes to my aging with art and soul work, it's touching people's lives. It is amazing how just a minute of somebody's time, they're, you know, it, I'll give you a story. One of my coloring books is all about animals. There's something about when we care for folks and animals. It's amazing. And I knew this man had come from South Africa, and he was paralyzed, and he had I knew he could smile, but he never did. So I walked up to him and I had the book, the page open, and I said, so and so, I know what you're gonna like. And all I did was bring up the page like this, and I brought it up, and you could see his face go, oh, and he smiled. And I call I call those like moments of joy. And it filled me, right? The rest of the class was wonderful too, but it's just that's the kind of thing that I call success is when things like that happen. And in IT, it happened also when I knew we were delivering great things for customers and making their lives easier and so on.
That's so kind. A lot of your work has been focused on helping other people and making other people happier. And so it's so inspiring to hear how much fulfillment you get from sharing your love to other people, whether that's through design in an IT environment or artwork with memory care patients. That's so amazing. You had kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but we wanted to ask you how you balanced personal and professional life. What strategies did you learn over time as you've managed both family and work responsibilities?
Okay, so here's my honest truth. I was really bad at it. I worked for a company where to get ahead, you worked and worked hard and worked crazy hours. You hit crazy deadlines. And I assimilated to that. It's what I became. And so don't do what I did, but I do have suggestions that I've learned. One is when you go into a job interview and into a new organization, find out what the reputation is. Find out if they expect you to read emails at night or even respond to emails. So that they have it in their inbox in the morning. It's very, very telling. And I firmly believe, and I've seen it through my whole career, that there will be moments to meet deadlines and work really, really, really hard. That just is not sustainable if it's what your whole life is. So you have to learn to unplug. And whether it's unplug for those nights that you do not have to be, it's you, there really is no reason why you have to read your emails and respond to emails, right? So on a daily basis, you need to check with yourself and do an unplug because you've got to have time to rejuvenate and decompress and so on, or else you're no good to the organization at, when you're burnt out. The other thing is, and this was what I was not good at, I did not use up all my vacation. Like, who does that? Like, well, I do know my colleagues, had a trouble doing it myself as well. So when you do go on vacation, and this I learned from Mary from Pepsi Cola, she said, when you go on vacation and you have to take vacation, you unplug. I do not expect you to respond to anything. You need to forget about this place. And I carried that throughout my whole career. My team, every person that ever worked for me heard that because I really believe in it. I really believe that there's such an intensity to your work life that if you're not really unplugging from it and what I used to have this conversation with some of my colleagues from GE. It would take at least 3 days of being completely disconnected from your organization and forgetting it to really feel like you're not thinking about it anymore. And most people said their ideal vacation was 2 weeks to really get to that place where they felt like, yeah, I'm a new person coming back. So, though I didn't do it well, I do have suggestions.
Well, it's really nice to hear how you've sort of understood these or sort of ways you can better situate yourself for this intense work environment and sort of understanding the expectations of what these companies want from you and understanding what's sustainable in the long t in terms of like the long term. And I guess like this is also very applicable to ourselves. Like me and Rachel were seniors in high school, and I'm sure a lot of students, even in college, and people who are getting prepared to sort of put their self or join the workforce, I guess. There's a
Yes.
lot of this is very applicable and really real and relevant to us as well.
I actually think it's more challenging for you because you are this generation. When I entered IT, our phones were not attached to us. And so I think it's harder for you guys to actually unplug from this. It's so easy for you to get a text from a colleague or an I wouldn't even say emails. Emails were common in my days. Today it's more text. And so I think you guys have a bigger challenge. How do you carve out that unplugging time? Are you in a position where you have to say, guys, I'm home with my family from whatever that is to whenever that is, I'm out? Or how do you do that? One thing I would suggest too is know the people around you, know your bosses, know what do they expect? How do you have that conversation, and set those expectations? And knowing who you're dealing with helps. It's all relationship building. So the more you know somebody, the more you know how to have that conversation, the more you know what you can push for, where you can give, and so on.
Yeah, totally. And especially in this like digital age where a lot of our work is surrounds technology, it's very difficult for us to unplug. But you've definitely provided a real perspective from this in terms of the situation. But yeah, thank you so much for all of the amazing advice you provided
You're
this
welcome.
episode. And thank you for sharing your incredible journey with us from your early experiences in tech and building the first ever UX team to your current work where you touch other people's hearts and serve your community with your work. Your commitment to making a difference in your community is truly inspiring and reminds us of how rewarding it can be to follow your curiosity, stay true to your passions, and ultimately stay open to new opportunities.
Your story
Thank
reminds
you.
us of the impact of authentic passion, and your ability to seek moments of joy and share that with others is encouraging for both us and our listeners. We're so grateful to have had the chance to learn from all of your experiences.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. Stay tuned for more inspiring stories in future episodes of the Ripple Effect podcast. Remember, change starts with each of us. Until next time.